speaking about it. But I cannot tell you that I'm complete. I speak for a living. And I hope I'm careful at the same time. I might make my livelihood speaking about things. Particularly as a person who works with schools or with teachers or with principals, speaking about people is something I have to do very often. I hope I'm careful. At the same time, none of us are immune from this type of reminder. I thought to myself that on Monday is April 15th. Everybody's making a reckoning with the United States government. Those who pay taxes are making a reckoning with the government. So let's take a little reckoning and see if we can take something home. Three separate chapters. We've all had a long week, whatever we've been doing. And let's think about this idea. We know that the great Hasidic masters, not only were they people who had depth of scholarship and depth of working with people, but they were tremendous treasurers of funds. Thousands of dollars and of rubles or whatever currency passed through their hands all the time. And they had to determine how to distribute money to people. Now, I'm not getting into the philosophical idea. Was it right? Wasn't it right? Did people deserve it? Didn't people deserve it? That was the system. And there was a story brought down in the Sefer that's called Chaim Sheyesh Bohem about believing in others. What's the idea of the nega, the blemish? I did something that God is causing me to bring the punishment, the retribution to my house. What's the idea? To remember all the time that there is a Hashem. Whether it's for the sin of Lashon Hara or some other sin, God's saying to me, you didn't do the right thing. And I'm going to visit upon you something that everybody knows. You go to the Kohen, he screams, Tamei! Tamei! Which is, we're going to get to this in the third thing that we speak about. Why normally things are done privately, and this is done publicly. So there's a story told about the rich brother of the Chiddushei Harim. The Chiddushei Harim was the Gera Rebbe, and a chassid came to the Chiddushei Harim and had a letter saying that he was making a wedding, that he deserved to receive a big financial donation. And the letter came from the Kutzker Rebbe. So it wasn't, these were people of note who vouched for the person who needed the money. And the wealthy brother of the Chiddushei Harim gave the man 1 ruble. Here's 1 ruble. That's like giving $1. Now, we have to picture this whole dialogue. So the person asking for the money had the temerity to say, a ruble? It cost me 50 rubles to get here. What do you mean, a ruble? And it wasn't like getting on Amtrak Acela. Okay, you didn't have express trains in those days. That's it. The man left pretty dejected. A few blocks down, this Reb Moshe Chaim, the brother of the Chiddushei Harim, sent the man a big envelope packed with cash. Enough to take care of the whole situation. So the man said to the representative, "Why did he do that for? Why did he send me with a ruble?" He answered, "Because when you walked in, you thought that this man is your savior. The lesson needs to be, it all comes from Hashem. We are just the shlichim. We are just the messengers. And he wanted to make sure that you know he's not the one who's saving you. He's not the one who's helping you. He is just a treasurer. Ultimately, if we think about it, these ideas about Tazria and Mitzora, the blemishes, we are responsible to make a relationship with Hashem. There are intermediaries in our lives who sometimes help us along the way, like the men with the charity. But ultimately, it's us and Hashem. Now, we have to be careful not to try to teach other people lessons like these. These individuals were in a high caliber that they could. But I guess the idea that I'm taking out of this, because it's brought here in Tazria, and having total bitachon. What happens? The person who speaks Lashon Hara, so he thinks that he's better than somebody else. He thinks that he's on a different level. Well, in the eyes of Hashem, we're all on the same level. And this parsha gives us the total reminder. Remember that it's our job. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm just reminding myself, we're all sitting here in the room. The parsha comes to teach us, remember, we each of us have a relationship with Hashem. Each of us rely totally on Hashem with all of our wisdom, with all of our intelligence, with all our prowess. That mark on the wall says, remember, I'm in your life. So hopefully it doesn't have to get to that. But if it does, the person gets this stark bang over the head and he's told, hey, you did something. Everybody knows about it. And I guess the powerful thing is that he wasn't embarrassed. Because his ability to take the blow and to take the knock on the wall, to take the blemish on the skin and the cut to tummy. You did something wrong. Everybody knows what you did is not private. See, we thank God nobody knows what we do. It's just private. It's done in secret. And we'd be quite embarrassed. And I guess the point of that story, since this parsha in my research was not a simple one to find a few short messages, so I just decided to take these three, was that ultimately there are helpers that we have in the world. But all the help comes from somebody else. All the help comes from Hashem. And it's our constant ability to reinforce that idea, It comes from Hashem, and it comes from Hashem totally. And we are dependent upon Hashem in all of our matzavim, in all of our situations. A person goes in and gets up in the morning, I don't feel like going to davening. But they go and they say, listen, Hashem, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel connected. The things aren't going at work and things aren't going here. Would you please help me out? That ultimately is the prayer that comes from the bottom of the heart when the person knows that they're stuck. I'm stuck. And I know there's nothing else that can help me. No person and nobody else. And that was one interesting idea. The second idea comes from a man whose name is Rav Gamliel HaKohen Rabinovich. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a very interesting person. People come to see him. He would come to America, but he believes that he's supposed to stay in Israel. He comes to America even just to visit, and people see him over Skype, and they speak to him over Skype. I'll give you a little glimpse as to how practical this person is. He's one of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Yeshiva of the Mikubalim in Yerushalayim. And he's a very, very fine person. He has hours, and people come to see him with troubles and with difficulties and with issues. And in addition to his other work with the larger Klal Yisrael, he is the Rebbe for kids who don't necessarily have a Rebbe. Every Thursday night he gives them a drasha and a little meal, and they daven together, and he's their Rebbe. He's the Rebbe for the not popular kids, for the kids who aren't so successful, the Rebbe who, not the people who are in the top of every yeshiva. Many of them are not in yeshiva. Many of them are working, doing other productive things. And he doesn't want them to be cast aside because they're not fitting into the mold. That's the type of work that he did. And then he does. So he writes a newsletter every week. And in his newsletter, which is like a set of Divrei Torah, he writes some interesting things. So he writes the following. He starts off with the following idea. There is a halacha that if a person at the night of the Seder, he brings this here in Tazria, what if a person swallows the moror, horseradish, but they don't taste it? They swallow it. What? So that's the question? So that's what he wants to know. So he says that the halacha is, says the Shulchan Aruch, lo yotza, yirai yotza. And the question is, why? Why? Why aren't you? Doesn't say, the bracha doesn't say to taste the moror. It says to ingest it. Achilas moror, to eat it. So he leaves this. And he goes now to the Metzora. And he says the following. What does the Torah command us? That the clothes of the Kohen should be torn. Of the person who has tzaras, it should be torn. And his head should be shaven. And he's called Tame. And the question is, what does he need all this? Rashi explains, because he's Tame and everyone has to separate from him. So the question asks, Rav Gamliel is, so why doesn't he go on a separate street? If he has to be separate from people, why the whole public display? Why not just let him go quietly? Why can't there be there are side streets all the time. You don't have to go on the main street. Why does it have to be such a public idea, the fact that he's tummy? So he says, a lot of times things don't go exactly the way we want them to go. Things don't go the way we like them to go. We feel, perhaps, that our mazel is not going the way... A mazel isn't good. A mazel doesn't mean luck. Mazel means something else. So a person feels like, what am I doing wrong? Where am I having a problem? So he connects all these two ideas in the following way. And he says that the idea is to know what is the Ratzon of Hashem. When the Torah tells us that there's a blemish on your wall or the blemish on your hand, believe it or not, that means that that's the Ratzon Hashem. That is the desire of Hashem. And he's telling us a very powerful concept. The Ratzon of Hashem is that people should see it. As amazing as that feels, and a person can rise to that occasion. A person can rise to the occasion of what God's will is, whether it's something that is public or something that is private. We have the ability, we were given a compass, we were given a constitution, we were given the strength to rise to the will of Hashem. And that's why the Kohen calls out, Tame, Tame!
Can I ask a question? A person, when he's with somebody or just with a few people, he has this sense, even though he's not sure that God's not watching. When you have a lot of people, to have the guts to speak your mind, it's very, very hard. One gets scared. One's going to be very careful. Like a politician's going to be careful. He's going to watch his words. Private, of course, is going to violate it. So maybe it's a sense that to put fear into him. You know, a lot of people are watching this, and it's big trouble, and this is going to spread.
Take away the fear. Is that what you're saying? Exactly. And speak about it. And the Metzorah says, I'm letting you know. I have tzaras because that's what God wanted to give me. That's a powerful thing. We normally think of being politically correct and covering things up. Turn it right around. There's a concept. Many things in our Jewish life are private. Here, the idea of The mitzvah is on the wall. Everybody knows about it. The Kohen says Tomei. And the person announces, this is the lot that God gave me. And I have to take care of it. I have something that I need to remedy for it. It's a very novel concept. It's a very novel concept. And that's why he says that the night of the Seder, you have to feel the maror. You're not just trying to get through. You're not trying to get through with the minimum. You're saying if the Ratzon Hashem is that we are supposed to eat the maror and taste the maror and feel the bitterness and feel the tears. Now, I would say no one told you to have 300 proof horseradish. You could eat lettuce. Also, you could eat Belgian endives. You could eat the roots of the romaine lettuce. You could also feel it. So who's telling you that you have to go have this 200 proof ground horseradish? But if you are, and say, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the Rasul Hashem. I'm supposed to feel what does God want for me. And when things aren't going the way we'd like them to go, perhaps he's suggesting, and he's the people who takes care of people's tzaras and difficulties. He says, that person should say, well, this is what I'm feeling. Is this the Ratzon Hashem? Is this what Hashem wants, or is this my feeling? And God gave me a mazel that isn't so good. Right now things aren't going so well. This must be the Ratzon Hashem, and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to find a way to improve and take the service that Hashem gave to me. You know, Chabad says we are the army of Hashem, but we're really all in the army of Hashem. We're all soldiers, and a soldier takes what the commander says and deals with it. So perhaps the lesson, in addition to not speaking Lashon Hara, addition on top of that for the Mitzorah is, I'm taking the Ratzon Hashem, and I'm moving with it. I'm going to deal with my reality and see, yes, this is what Hashem wants. How can I be sovelet? Now, just to take this point a tiny little bit further as to how a person improves, finding ways to improve, Rav Silverstein, who I call the Rabbi Kamenetsky of Eretz Yisrael, very, very fine person. He looks at the word v'hizo al hamitaher. The pasuk says that in the purification of the person who has mitzora, that it is sprinkled on the mitaher. So the Meshech Chachma, he says, wants to know, why doesn't it say the word al hanitar on the person who is becoming purified? Mitaher is the hispael, that it's being done to him. So he says that the mitzora's job is to inspire himself to do tshuva. So in order to make this point very vivid, he tells a story that happened with none other than Rabbi Akiva Eger, who didn't live a million years ago. And if we think about the story, we have to realize we just live in such different times, but the way Rabbi Akiva acted as a leader has a lot to say to us. I have a picture of Rabbi Akiva Eger, if it's a real picture of him. The people I bought it from say that it's him. Very austere looking figure. Very austere. So if you think about it, very serious. If you think about it, let's try to put the picture of a serious person in their minds and this idea. Rabbi Akiva Eger was in his home one evening very late. He was learning, and there were knocks on the door. And there were representatives from the authorities. Of the Jewish community had been contacted that there was a person who was kidnapped, and that in order to redeem him, a lot of money was necessary. Thankfully, we don't have this often, thankfully, we don't have it at all. But we know that that was in history an issue, and the communities were tested about giving over huge sums of money. So listen how the rabbi knows his congregants. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger got up and he put on his coat and he says, we're going to go to a certain place. And instead of, and he explained, we're going to go to a place where our congregants are gambling. Okay, so the rabbi knew the constituents. Now this was in Posen, in Europe. So he came to a house and he knocked on the door, and they were playing cards. Now just imagine their surprise when the rabbi came at 12 o'clock at night. They probably were drinking and smoking and who knows what else they were doing. And they were playing cards. And there was a lot of money on the table. So I don't think he said, would you deal me in? So after their eyes popped out of their heads, they said, well, what is it that brings you here, Rebbe? What is it that we can do for you? So he said, well, there's a very serious case, and we need money to redeem somebody. And they had more than enough money, and they gave him all the money to take care of the mitzvah. So he took the money, and he thanked them. And then he changed his personality totally. And he started to speak to them strongly about why they were spending their time doing these activities, why they were wasting their time. So one of the people said, Rebbe, excuse me, why do you yell at us after you got the money? Why didn't you yell at us before we gave you the money? So what would you say? What would you say? Why didn't he yell first?
You may not get it.
Okay. So that would be our practical response. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said the following, and this is how a great person thinks of it. He said, it wasn't about getting the money. I knew he'd give the money. He said, before, you were not close to thinking about doing tshuva. Middle of a game. Now that you did something to help another Jew, you gave money, you moved your madrega, now you're ready to hear. So we often live through life, we go through situations all the time, and do we give ourselves this type of thought? Well, what am I ready for? Am I ready for a change? So the person, he got the blemish on the wall. He says, oh, yes, you know, I guess I better change. I have the blemish on the wall. I'm telling me I have to stay away. Well, I guess the idea over here was trying to say, what does it take for us to think about what it takes for us to change? When is the moment that we are most spiritually ripe for a change? And it's usually after doing something good. After doing something that isn't so good, so we're kind of further away.
Get defensive.
That's right. But when we're at, what is the fertile time? So I guess the question I want to leave us with is, we're going to leave the parsha, we're going to hear about it, and we're going to, should we ask ourselves, according to the story with Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that Rav Zilberstein brings, what is the fertile time? What is that fertile time? April 15th is the time to reckon on our finances. What's the time to reckon on our Avodas Hashem? Now, you who are spending time studying Torah every day, that's a very, very worthwhile thing. And if we can capitalize on that, once we're doing the right thing anyway, we're in the right place, we're around the right people, that's the time to make the spiritual thoughts and accounting and reckonings. I came here today. It's an uplifting experience. Now's the time for me to think, well, okay, so how do you need to improve your spiritual situation? accepting things as they happen. This week, I flew from Fort Lauderdale to Philadelphia, which is a 2-hour and 30-minute flight. The flight took 8 hours because of the weather. It stopped in Atlantic City. And then they said, no, we went up again. We have to go to Baltimore. Those are tests of a person's patience. Now, I can tell you right now, I'm in a better position to think about my spiritual standing than I was then. Because I'm sitting here in the Beis HaMedrash with you. Sitting with people who study Torah much of the week. People who devote themselves to the right things. So when we're in the situation where we're in the fertile ground, we have to look for the fertile ground and say the fertile ground is the time to make the move. I hope that for everybody this will be a good week.